Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Here we read that Jesus heals 10 lepers. 9 follow his instructions to present themselves to the priests, and the 10th, a Samaritan, turns in gratitude to Jesus. Like him, we are invited to embrace God's gift of salvation as we are welcomed and forgiven and made whole through Christ. Hear now from Luke's Gospel. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus, who is our rock, our redeemer, our healer. Amen. This gospel story begins with Jesus healing 10 lepers. They all follow his instructions to go and present themselves to the priest in accordance with the scriptural requirements for those who've been cleansed of leprosy. They go to the priest to have their quarantine lifted and readmitted to a community by a ritual process that makes, and then they make offering and thanksgiving at that time to God. But one of them turns around and goes back the other way to thank Jesus. And that's when Luke shares the clincher. The leper is a Samaritan, a religious and social outcast. This is what prompts Jesus to ask, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Jesus' words leave us wondering what this story is really about. Is this the story of the 9 ingrates who were cleansed but who didn't return to express gratitude and thanks? Are these words that Jesus says about them spoken harshly? And these words spoken in a tone of criticism and judgment? Many readers of this text have thought so and have turned this story into a little moralistic object lesson on the importance of being thankful. However, you don't need me, a preacher, to hear that sermon. Most of us are pretty good at preaching that sermon to ourselves, not to mention delivering it to others who may be within earshot. It's easy to be railing against those ingrates, and you can easily fill in the blanks about who they are, who those people are that are ungrateful. Even a passing glance through popular advice columns sounds that theme. Whether it arises from ill-mannered people who don't write thank you letters on time to acknowledge a gift, or clueless co-workers or family members who don't express appreciation when you've done them a favor. This story also serves as a backdrop for teaching children the importance of being thankful. It's not hard to rack up feelings of guilt by thinking about all the blessings that of God that we so easily take for granted and that we should appreciate more. It's not hard for us to zero in on the 9 ingrates and either beat ourselves up for being that way or slam other people for being that way. If so, we need to reframe, I think, how we think about this or how we think about the words of this gospel so that we can receive them perhaps with a little more gentle nudge rather than a harsh criticism. Because the text does not keep focusing on the 9. The grateful Samaritan's response is who this text now turns to, as the 9 serve as a backdrop for this one's response. 9 of the lepers, healed lepers, do exactly what they are expected to do. They did follow instructions and go to the priest. But this one, the Samaritan, does what is very unexpected. Instead of viewing this story with judgment against the 9, what if we looked at it with a sense of delightful purpose, delightful surprise about this one? When we do that, we are in a position to notice the text's clear focus on blessing and gratitude and grace that the Samaritan received. You see, the truth is that this Samaritan could not have gone to show himself to the priests anyway. It was a Samaritan. The leper was already an outsider. The priests at the temple would have barred the door. They wouldn't have even let him in. And remember the parable of the good Samaritan found only a few chapters before in Luke's gospel. The Samaritan leper would not have been welcomed at the temple with others. He is not in their society. Imagine him trudging down the road with the other 9. Imagine what was going through his mind. Obedient to Jesus' command to go and show yourselves to the priests. Worried and wondering how he, as a Samaritan outcast, could possibly even do that. So as they're walking along, then he realizes, well, that he was healed. So instead of continuing down that road with the other 9, he turns back to Jesus. He's relieved that he can turn back to Jesus at that moment and thankful. And doesn't have to be humiliated by being thrown out of a temple, cast aside again. The truth is, he really had nowhere to go except Jesus. Get up. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. A couple of years ago, I got up one morning and had no hot water. Have you ever had that happen? No hot water, and I couldn't get ready for work, and it was a busy day, and it seemed that the day was going rapidly downhill. Because I couldn't figure out what was wrong. I looked, the pilot light was out. There was some, I tried to get it, it wouldn't start. I thought, well, I paid the oil bill, so I don't understand. Don't you hate those inconveniences in the middle of a busy routine morning? So I called the oil company, and they squeezed me in on a very cold, dreary winter day. And by the time he came, I was not even colder, but I was even more irritated. But I had a delightful surprise. The man who came out not only fixed the problem, but he was able to save me $90 on the bill of the service call expenses. I was so grateful, and I thanked him. I also let him know how I appreciated his kindness. Here's what his response was to me. Ma'am, I am blessed and thankful every day. So I like to pay it forward and bless others in my work. I said, thank you. You made my day. He left with a smile. But something happened in me that moment. I was changed. His faith was like, it spread like wildfire. And it changed my day. As I realize that even when we have a little hiccup, such as your hot water doesn't come on, and there's bigger hiccups than that in life, I know that. Even when we are so irritated, when someone approaches us and comes into our presence, into our lives, from a perspective of thankfulness, we are blessed. It was more than fixing the problem or even about the money. His heart of gratitude expressed in kindness fixed my day. Perhaps even my life, because I still remember and I'm sharing this story with you today. It is literally transforming when someone approaches us with a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. That's their perspective. And I wondered, you know, how was he changed in his life? Last week, someone in our Bible study said that we need a perspective change. We say things like, oh, I gotta do this, and I gotta pick up the kids, and I gotta go to my appointment, and I gotta go to work, and I gotta get out of bed. But what if we change just one word, she said. What if being in a heart of gratitude causes us to say this? This one word is changed. I get to pick up my kids. I get to run all my errands. I get to go to work. Someone else in the Bible said, he said, I get to get up in the morning. And I thought, you know, some days you just got to say that. I get to get up, even if it's a little painful sometimes. Now, Sharon, I've been saying that little statement every day since the Bible study. Because you know how we say that to ourselves. I got to do this. I got to do that. How about I get to? It changes everything. I don't know. It changes everything. Pivotal moments in our lives can indeed change our perspectives. A miraculous healing, such as mine in 1991, when I was bedridden for 1 year with the Epstein-Barr virus, it knocked me to my knees. I had little children at the time. With some people, it's a near-death experience that changes everything. Or an addiction problem that was healed because they found Christ in their lives. With the oil truck repairman, did God in some way cause a miracle of healing that changed his perspective and the way he presented to me? He gets to get up and he gets to get up and drive his oil truck and bless others. I don't know what happened in his life, but in our story, the Samaritan and the 9 others who were miraculously healed, but this one had no other resources about being transformed by God's grace in a miracle moment. You might say, well, I have never had a miracle in my life. When we open our eyes to grace and the fact that Jesus came that we may have salvation and it is eternal, that's grace. And when we open our eyes to grace, there are miracles all around us, all around us. What distinguished this one leper from the other 9 is not that he was thankful and the 9 weren't. I think the 9 were, but that this one recognized Jesus as the manifestation of the power and the presence of God. So he returned back to thank Jesus as the source of his healing. And he worshiped. And that's so important that we worship. And he worshiped that day and probably for the rest of his life worshiped. The resurrection was God's miracle for us. This one Samaritan finds true community with the Lord. He got more than a healing of his body. He received a healing of his soul. And that is the wholeness in Jesus. When we move through all the layers of this story, we come to the core message, the non-judgmental generosity and grace of God. All 10 of those lepers had approached Jesus with the same request. Lord, have mercy. And Jesus did. He didn't distinguish them. It didn't matter what kind of people they were or what was going on with their body. He healed them, all of them, both the one Samaritan and the 9 Jewish lepers, without any discrepancy. As lepers, they were all outcasts. The Samaritan had a double outcast, and none of that mattered to Jesus. All good news. Because no one who turns to Christ for healing is cast out. Like the generosity of an oil truck deliverer, God is so much more the deliverer of the wholeness of our lives. That word, salvation, means wholeness. Our Heavenly Father showed us the depths of grace and love and generosity through Jesus, who is the source of our life and the ground of our faith. We learn that in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. And if we claim anything as a religious organization, we can claim this. We are a thankful community of faith who shares in God's abiding love to all people. And our purpose is to bear that image of Jesus Christ everywhere in our lives and to all people. And we are invited to see Christ as the source of salvation, the source of our wholeness. To turn around and receive God's wholeness and true community, to respond in faithful obedience and to be thankful. Not that we got to serve, but that we get to serve our Creator in this way. We may be small, but God's love is mighty, as we heard from the mouth of a child today. God's love is mighty and endless and works through us when we surrender our lives and our agendas to Him. May your lives be filled with thanksgiving and bring a blessing today to someone, somewhere, and in at any time in your life this week and beyond. Amen.